Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. It's good to be here today, and we come together to worship God on this beautiful sunny morning. And we're going to begin with Hosanna, which is very familiar, I know, to you all, but we haven't sung it for a little while, so let's sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the God of...
Everybody. As Rosemary said, this is another beautiful day that God has made. How good it is to be here together worshipping God this morning. And as we were singing Hosanna, I was singing, yes, this is the day to praise God. So let us rejoice. Let us be glad. Let's sing, or continue to sing, because we've already been doing that. Let's continue to sing our praise and our worship to God as we sing, joyful, joyful, we adore you. Know about you, but I want joy. I want light and peace and goodness. I want a life that is full and satisfying. Isn't that what we all want? But the truth is that sometimes our lives seem like a desert. And then, in our desert, life springs up again. Will you pray with me? God of all life, thank you for the many ways that you meet us in our everyday lives. So that when we come to look for you in worship, when we thought that we would come here this morning and find you waiting to meet us, we found instead that you had been with us all the time. Jesus, in our worship and in our lives, we need the living water you alone can give. And like the Samaritan woman at the well, we turn to you and say, Lord Jesus, source of living water, give us this water, we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, when our prayers are like a stony desert and our feelings seem as dry as a sandhill, soak us in a downpour of your mercy. When we take your good gifts to us for granted and grumble about every little obstacle, forgive us, O God, and put a new song in our heart. When we are self-centered and self-absorbed, when we begrudge others our time and attention, our love and our care, oh God, forgive us our failure to love and remind us about what love can do through you. Amen. This is the great good news today and every day. In Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And we're going to keep saying thank you as we sing, give thanks with a grateful heart. Here's another thing you can give thanks for. The peace of the Lord is here to stay. Peace of the Lord be with you. Just share that good news right now. So last week I asked Jenny to tell us a little bit about Refreshed, and now Dawn's going to, we're going to have another minute of mission. And Dawn's going to tell us a little bit about Cool and Classic. So I think I want to say, will you remind us just briefly about how Cool and Classic began, Dawn?
If you might remember, we used to run Trash and Treasure Days for our major fundraising thing during the year, and that was getting very difficult. It was a massive amount of work. So when Heather came, we had a break for a while. We did a wonderful thing called Simple Gifts to give us a little bit of a break. Everybody did their own thing and raised enough money that we could stop and think about the future. And we've had a couple of concerts from a wonderful group, chamber music group, coming up from Victoria, whose motto was to take music into the suburbs. So we thought that's a pretty good idea, and we decided we would have a series of concerts. We called them Cool and Classic because that gave us a lot of room to manoeuvre. We could have jazz, we could have singing, we could have almost anything. And they turned out to be very popular. Now, they were a good fundraising effort, but Kenmore being Kenmore, it never stopped at just that. They became a wonderful outreach into the community. We were finding people who were so grateful to have something they could get to locally, at good quality music. We didn't make always a lot of money. Bill East always used to remind me when I was anxious beforehand whether we'd have people coming or not. He'd say, it doesn't matter. We just are really wanting to do something, serving the community and bringing them something into the suburbs. So that's the motto that we've had, and we've kept working like that. Some wonderful things have happened, and it was, we decided right at the beginning it would be the whole of the congregation. It wasn't just one group doing this. It was everybody. And there are people who do the parking, and there are people who go and pick up people. And we had that wonderful man who passed away this year, and he was over 100, and he'd been coming for 10 years, and his family wrote to us afterwards and said how grateful they were for those concerts, that Lyle used to do a double run, go and get him and somebody else, and then go and get somebody else. So it was really a big effort from everybody, and they've been a wonderful way of connecting. Remember when they started and we had a break and everybody just sat in their chairs and maybe went and got a drink of water? Now you have to haul them back. They're all talking to each other. And that was just beautiful to see.
So it began, but it became something very different.
Very quickly. In fact, I don't think it could ever have been anything else, knowing the congregation.
So if you had to put this in just, I'll let you have two sentences, but if you could put it in one sentence, what does Cool and Classic give to the Kenmore community?
I think we're known not just for putting music in a way that they can come to that's accessible, but because it's more than a concert. The musicians talk to people. They've always come afterwards to the afternoon tea so they can connect with them. So it's a real, real time of connectedness for everybody. And I think that's the really important thing. Plus, it's not just fundraising for us. We've spent over $30,000 in the last 10 or 12 years or whatever, since 2010, into the music community. So there are musicians, it's their livelihood, these sorts of things. And we've contributed that as well.
So it's made connections between the musicians and the congregation and the people who come.
And then with each other.
And then with each other, as they all share together.
Because they know they can ring us and get special arrangements for bringing somebody with a walker or a wheelchair or whatever.
So if we're talking about a minute for mission, if mission is about opportunities to serve other people. So, and that's, you know, and Cool and Classic has done that in spades, hasn't it, in so many different ways. And also about opportunities to share faith. Can you give us some examples of that?
Well, I think it's something that's very individual and it happens between people. And I'm not there when all these little private conversations go on, but I know that there have been some friendships developed between people who only perhaps started to meet at the concerts, but then other things grow from that.
Mm.
But we don't always know about it, but we do have some people who then come to other things that we run. But I don't know, because people come and then they come to something else and then gradually they're getting involved, but I don't always know that they were from the concert.
And the very best way to do faith sharing is to do it out of relationship, out of friendship, because that's where it comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cool and Classic creates opportunities for that to happen. Thank you. Thank you very much. And now we're going to hear God's word come to us in a number of voices. At the very end of this Bible reading, there's a little bit that's the Samaritans. I don't want the words up yet, but when we come to the end of the reading, could you put the words up? Because you are the Samaritan village, all of you, okay? So when that comes up, those are your words to say together. All good? Thank you very much.
John 4, verses 5 to 31 and 39 to 42. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. And his disciples would. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
"Because Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans."
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water."
"Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go, call your husband and then come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying I have no husband. For you had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth."
"I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
"I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left the water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
They left the city, and they were on the way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. I said to the woman,
"It is no longer because of what you said.
It is no longer because of what you said
that we believe.
That we believe.
For we have heard for ourselves.
For we have heard for ourselves.
And we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world.
And we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world."
I have one little PS. This week I am going to Charleville with the Schoolhouse Quilters, and we are stopping overnight at Roma. And so I gave Donna, sent an email to Donna in case she was there and we could meet up. However, she's going to the Birdsville races because she is promoting Frontier Services there. Sounds like a nice outing. But
this story about the Samaritan woman is a scandalous story. It's a shocking story because Jesus crossed racial and gender barriers and he broke social conventions. He took a big, big risk and he did it for the sake of this Samaritan woman. He did it to meet her deepest needs. You know, there were so many, many reasons why Jesus should avoid this woman. There are many reasons why Jesus would not care at all about this woman. She's a Samaritan, and Samaritans like her and Jews like Jesus are sworn enemies. She's a woman in a society where men and women who are not related do not speak to each other. And not only is she a woman, she's a woman with a past. She is so despised by her own people that she comes to get water in the middle of the day when she thinks no one else will be there to turn their backs and whisper about her behind their hands. Jesus should ignore her, but instead, Jesus starts a conversation with her. And this is not just a passing word, "G'day, how are you?" This conversation goes deep. You know, in all the conversations that Jesus had with people, right across all four Gospels, including his conversations with his closest disciples, there is no other conversation that is longer than this. This conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well is the longest conversation reported in any of the Gospels between Jesus and any other person. So it wasn't just a little "hello, how are you?" It was a deep conversation. Jesus' first risk was speaking to her at all, saying, "Give me a drink." She knows Jesus shouldn't say that. She knows that she can't share her dipper with a strange man. She knows she should ignore him. Just get her water and go. But she doesn't do that. She's intrigued by this man. And so she takes a risk. And she asks him a question. how come you are asking a lowly Samaritan woman like me for a drink? And because both Jesus and the Samaritan woman risked those first few words, the conversation began. She asks questions, he answers answers. Are the answers to different questions from the ones she meant to ask? Jesus' answers are the answers to her real questions. And at first the woman doesn't understand that. She has no idea what's going on, and they are talking at cross purposes. Jesus' starting point was the ordinary, the everyday, the water to quench physical thirst. But his destination was the living water of eternal life. The Samaritan woman was not looking for anything but plain, ordinary water. She wasn't looking for living water. But when Jesus began to talk about living water, she's confused. She doesn't understand. Because Jesus has gone deep, but she's still on the surface of the conversation. And at first, she has no way of understanding his words, understanding what he's talking about. She's got nothing to plumb their depth and find the living water that's there. Sir, she says, the well is deep and you don't have a bucket. Where do you get this living water? She did not know that she, a Samaritan woman, could have or could even be offered living water, whatever that was. Until Jesus met her. Until Jesus ignored her race and her gender and her lifestyle. Because he cared enough about her to meet her real needs. But when Jesus took a risk and this woman took a risk, she began to see herself in a whole new light. Despite her checkered past, she is someone who is worthy of living water, water that springs up to eternal life. And when Jesus steers the conversation into an exploration of real worship and false worship, oh no, she's out of her depth again. And she says, this is too deep for me. When the Messiah comes, he will be able to explain it all. And then finally, Jesus answers in a straightforward, unambiguous way. He says, ego I me, I am he. I am the Messiah. I am God standing here speaking to you. Think about that for a minute. Jesus risked sharing his true identity, his divinity, with an outcast Samaritan woman. At first, that's too deep for her too, and she can't fathom it. Until she puts aside the questions, until she dares to believe what Jesus says. If only that was, if that could be true, if maybe it's true. I really want to believe this is true. And so she takes another risk. She's a woman with a reputation. Who's going to believe her word? But despite that, she runs back to the village anyway, and she tells everyone there about Jesus. She says, come and see this man I met. He can't be the Messiah, can he? So the people of her village went to check out the woman's story. And when they did, they met Jesus too. And when they met Jesus, Jesus offered them the living water of eternal life. And they too came to believe in Jesus. And Jesus spent time with them before he moved on in his journey. Ever since there's been any possibility of space exploration, scientists have been searching for signs of water on other planets. Because without water, there is no life as we know it. There can be no life as we know it. No water, no life. In Australia, there are times when we have a lot more water than we need or want in some places, like the floods we had early last year in Brisbane. But I can remember seemingly endless droughts over huge tracts of land in our country. Can't you? In Australia, from the time of the earliest explorers to the present day, travellers have perished from lack of water. If anyone knows, or if anyone should know how precious water is, as Australians we should know. We should know no water, no life. And before that, Aboriginal people memorised every watering place, every watering hole. They passed down songs that were like maps of their territory from one generation to the next. And the most important features on these song maps were watering holes, because they knew no water, no life. This story about Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well is a story of a woman who was parched with thirst, but she did not know it until Jesus met her and offered her what she really needed, met her deepest needs for living water. And she finally came to understand no water, the water Jesus was offering, no life, no eternal life. Jesus offers the Samaritan woman and the people of her village and you and me living water, eternal life. So this is the question, isn't it? What do you desperately need? What are you thirsty for? Jesus offers you living water, water that springs up to eternal life, water that will satisfy your deepest need and will never, ever run dry. The water is there. So drink it and share it, as the Samaritan woman did, because we know, as Christian people, we know no water, no life. In the everyday activities of life, doing the shopping, reading a book, gardening, messaging, listening to some music, watching TV, talking with a friend, drawing water from the well, on some ordinary workaday day, just like any other, Jesus meets us. He comes and speaks to us of a need deeper than we thought were even our deepest needs. he sits by the well. He starts the conversation. He comes to you as he came to the Samaritan woman. God comes to you so that you might come to him. And so that others might come to him through you. What a tragedy if we, or the people we know, or the people living in our community, were to die of thirst in the midst of the abundant living water that Jesus is offering, the water of eternal life. In the world of people that you know, there are people who are thirsty for living water. What are you doing about it? Jesus took the risk to speak to the Samaritan woman. Jesus reached out to her, and when he did, he met her deepest needs. And you know, that's not all that Jesus risked by any chance. We all know the Easter story. Jesus risked everything for you and me and all people, for the world he loves. So here's a question. You might not like this question, but it's an important question. When have you ever risked anything, let go of the rules, risked possible embarrassment or rejection, let go of your own expectations or others' expectations of you, so that God could work freely in your life and in theirs? So that God could work freely in the lives of others around you, through you. In the midst of people who are dying of thirst, what a tragedy if we held on tight to the living water that we have and refused to let it go. Jesus calls you to take a risk. Well, you know, it's not really a risk, because a risk like that is never truly a risk when God holds you in his hands when you step out to do it. And God does. Sorry. It might be the risk of reaching out for the living water that Jesus is holding. It might be the risk of speaking to an unlikely stranger, or the risk of speaking to someone close to you, offering them living water. Or it might be something entirely different. But if you do not take the risk, if you do not take the opportunity, you will never know. Jesus offers living water, water that springs up to eternal life, more than enough water for you, more than enough water for everyone to share. The well is never dry. Amen. And almost on the same topic, just give me an indication. Who's asked someone to come on Wednesday night to Ukraine prayers? Who's done that? Thank you very much for that. Thank you so much. You know what? There are others of you who still have an opportunity to do that. There are still flyers there. Please take one as you go. It's not a big risk. Just take a little risk and see what happens. And you might be amazed and then come and tell me about what happened. How you were amazed at what God did with a little risk that you took. So, how I have another question. Who's going to do that this week? Okay. Then that's a very good excuse. It's not even an excuse, that's a great reason. Yes. So I have another question. Who's going to come on Saturday? I know that Dawn was taking down names of people who were going to be here to organise for lunch. Who's coming on Saturday? Excellent. Because, you know, we all want to know, how can we do this mission thing better? Even when we're doing it, you know, even if we think we're doing this pretty well, there's always a question, isn't there? How can we do this better? And particularly when it seems risky and when it seems hard, sometimes when it seems too hard, how do we make that easy? How do we do that? So that it's not hard, so that it's not risky, so it doesn't feel risky. And that's, I hope that those are some answers that we will come up with on Saturday. So see you there. We're going to sing. From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. While the offering is received, please remain seated. Our gift from you. So now, O God, we come to bring these offerings and to bring our lives to you. And we ask, O God, that you will use both to grow your kingdom in the name of Christ. Amen.
First of all, though, welcome to everyone who is here today. Lovely to see you. But this framed certificate that we have been given comes from Destiny Rescue through Matt Whittaker. He delivered a thank you note. It's in your notices, so you can read it for yourselves. And this certificate of appreciation to the church, because many of you will remember that we have given two lots of $500 in the past financial year to Destiny Rescue. Now, the extra bit of information is that there is a movie called, I find it really hard to keep up with movies now because they don't actually put them in the newspaper or anything like that very much. But this one is based on a true story about trafficking and exploitation of children. The producers have been supporters of Destiny Rescue and have arranged to have a promotion slide for their work shown immediately before the screening in all the theatres. And they're on mostly at Event and Cineplex movie houses, so not too far away for us. Matt did say, remember, it is a Hollywood movie, not a documentary, but it does show the dangerous and very real situations that they deal with. So that sounds like something good to go and see. The thing about Reflections is not due this week, although if you give them to me, that does help a lot. But we're putting it off a week so that we can have the results of next weekend in the next edition of Reflections. Of course, Wednesday night, as Jan has already talked about, there's the prayers for Ukraine, and we have the nice flyers available as well as the stopgap ones we did, but we've run a few more extras off there, so if you want them, they're on the desk there to give to somebody else. It is lovely if you can bring some friends and neighbours with you. It should definitely be under about 40 minutes, and we hope it's going to be a very meaningful service. It'll be quite different from a normal Sunday service. It's got some special music composed by David Allen, and it should be very easy for everyone from any church or none to share in. So feel quite comfortable, I think, about inviting people that don't normally come, because it is designed to be very accessible. Next Saturday, would you please put your name on the sheet? I've started one here and there's another one at the door, because we do need to know the numbers to order the lunch. So that would be really great if you could do that. And this is our chance to come up with a positive plan based on what we believe God has led us to do so far and building on all the elements that we support and believe in. And the very fact that you come is important. Don't say, oh, I haven't got any ideas. Just being there does demonstrate that we all care about sharing God's kingdom in this community, which is, I think, what underlines everything that we do. Now, next week, not this coming week, but next week, both the fellowship lunches will be on, women on the Monday and the men's on the Friday. Very social fortnight, looks about 3 or 4 lunches in the next week if you get to them all. Advance notice about Artburst. Refreshed is having a plant store, as well as being open with all their normal racks and special designer clothes and things available. But now is the time you need to start striking cuttings or preparing seedlings or whatever good gardening people do. I'm not very good at that. If you need empty pots, see Jenny. I believe she has quite a few spares. Don't forget, please, those in our congregation who are not able to be with us in the Sunday services for a time or even any longer. Where possible, give them a phone call too to let them know that we are still thinking of them and praying for them. Usual activity, you can't get to the prayer service on Wednesday night. Please pray at home, not only for Ukraine, but that this service will be helpful for any of those who come with really immediate personal concerns about the situation. So, thank you.
Let us pray. Let us begin with a prayer of gratitude and thanksgiving. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, for being with us this Sunday as we come together to glorify you with prayer and songs of praise and joy. Thank you, O Lord, for inspiring us and energizing us as we use our different outreach missional opportunities through music, art,
craft prayer, just to name a few examples, to connect with our community and to share the living water of Christ. Thank you for all the blessings we have received personally and as members of this congregation. Even though at times we do not straight away recognize that they are blessings. I thought I would read the chorus of this song by Laura Story called Blessings that resonated with me. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Let us pray for our world. O Lord, we are slow learners and we have not been good custodians of our world. We can see the devastating effects of climate change playing out with flooding, drought, and right now with the fires in Canada, Maui, Greece, just to name a few. At home we are being warned that fires may be a challenge too for us this summer. We pray, Lord, that our leaders and we ourselves on a personal micro level take urgent and transformative action that go beyond mere plans and promises. Let us pray for our fractured world, for those suffering from heinous crimes against humanity and the horrors of war and conflict. We pray for the peoples of Ukraine, and indeed we'll come together on Wednesday to do this as a congregation and as a community. We also pray for people of Syria, Sudan, Myanmar, Afghanistan, Palestine, just to name a few others. We pray for all these peoples who are ruthlessly being suppressed for any peaceful dissent. Compassionate Lord, we pray for an end to this suffering, and we pray that the hearts of our world leaders have the strength and courage to take risks, to make bold decisions that prioritize justice and fairness for all. We pray for those countries gripped by chronic hunger, often a byproduct of conflict. The statistics are alarming, O Lord, and the impact on children is severe. CEF study looked at 15 developing countries and found that every minute another child will suffer from severe malnutrition. We pray for the frontline church partners all over the world, trained to identify malnutrition and hunger and take immediate action to address it. Mother God, we pray that you would equip these churches and staff members with wisdom, protection, endurance, and the resources to fight hunger and provide food security to children and families in their communities. And we pray also for God's comfort and provision to all families struggling with food security. We pray for inspiration as we come together on 2nd of September for our transition to mission workshop. We pray that we are inspired with new ways, perhaps new risky ways, to make Kenmore Uniting Church more accessible to the wider community. We also pray that you will send us our next minister to continue to lead us on this new and exciting chapter. Finally, let us pray, let us be still and listen, be educated, and prayerfully discern and respectfully discuss while we listen to the still small voice of God to guide us with regard to the yes vote. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Will you ask God to show you how God is calling you to be like the Samaritan woman in John's Gospel, who received living water from Jesus and then said to others in her world who needed living water too, come and see. And will you ask God to give you the courage to do that? You are God's people. God's people who have been drenched with living water. So go into the week ahead to share that living water generously with others in your world, so that through Jesus, through you, Jesus' love will have a human face. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.